From the LifeWord studios, this is Life Perspectives with Michael Goring.
Joining me today is gospel music recording artist, a member of the Gaither Homecoming family, and one of my favorite people on the planet, Angie Prim. Welcome to Life Perspectives.
Hello. Thank you for having me today. How are you doing?
I'm great, and it's great to see you. Angie, you were raised in the church, and your mother played a significant role in your musical journey. Can you share a memorable story from your childhood that sparked your love for gospel music?
Well, you know, coming from a mother like my own, you didn't have a choice as to what you wanted to do. You were going to serve the Lord. If you were in her house, you were going to serve the Lord. And my sister was already a professional singer. She was a background vocalist for James Brown. And my mother always had a chorus. Back in the day, when I was growing up, everyone had a gospel group of some sort. Right now, they call them quartet singers, but back in the day, it wasn't just quartet. If you had some people in the neighborhood that sang, you were going to form a group. And my sister, my other sister, there were three girls that lived with my mom. And one played the piano. Joan, my oldest sister, was the professional one. So because she was professional, she just felt like she could tell us to do anything and everything, and you had to do it. Well, by being the baby, I had to do it. So when I would see my sister's car come around the corner and I would be playing kickball with the neighborhood kids, and when I saw her coming, I was like, y'all, I gotta go. My sister gonna make me sing. So our family time was standing around the piano being told what to do. So that was it. That was my childhood. That's my childhood.
So you are known as someone who has a lot of energy. And I'm assuming that comes from your mother, the energetic performances. Like the story of her couldn't keep it to myself song, you know?
Yeah.
Those seem to have a lasting impact on you, right?
Of course they do. Especially when you were a 10-year-old and you trying to flirt and find a boyfriend, you know? And I would see my mom's, back then it was called a song list, but now it's called like a set list, you know?
Yeah.
I'd see her write that song on a piece of paper and hand it to my sister, the one who would play the piano. And I said, Mommy, you going to do that song? She was like, yes. I said, please, did you put any hairpins in your wig? Please, Mom, please. She's like, I don't need no hairpins in my wig, and you're not going to tell me how to praise God. I was like, oh, she was saying that. Oh, you ought to have been there. And that thing would fly off, and she go marching, pick it back up and put it on backwards, the fuzzy part, the head part, you know. I was like, oh, my love life has just been destroyed. Oh, those were the days to see my mother enjoy the gospel of Jesus Christ as she did. You know, when you love God, there is a joy that comes with it.
Yes.
It's immeasurable. You can't contain it. You know, I see a lot of sports fans, you know, they'll travel the globe just to see their team win or lose.
Yep.
They'll spend their last dime on a ticket, whether the team, they have no guarantee as to how the team is going to play. Oh, but I'm a cheerleader for a team that's guaranteed to win. So when I show up, Pastor Mike, I'm already excited because I know we're a winner.
We're winning.
So that's me. That's me. When the Lord, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to stand before God's people. We're not entitled to that role at all.
Yeah.
And when God gives you the opportunity to lead his people,
yeah,
into worship, into prayer, whatever it may be. But when he sets you and sets you up in front of people, that's a responsibility to do what you're called to do and be faithful at it.
Yeah.
And that's my heart. Every time I hit the stage, I'm like, okay, Jesus, you own. I'm just a cheerleader. Whatever you do, you do. I got your back, Jesus.
I love it. So those early experiences, how did those early experiences with gospel music shape the way that you view your role as an artist today?
The meaning of the songs.
Yeah.
My passion comes from knowing what they mean. Study, you know, when we were given a song to sing, my mother made for sure I knew what I was singing about.
Yeah.
To pronounce your words. I remember, you know, I was your typical teenager, and there would be a song that we would go to a church and they would, you know that we were faithful, because it was called the Mothers and Daughters Gospel Chorus. Mm. That's what it was called. And we had our white tops and black skirts. That was typical for any group. You know, you had to have your black and white back in the day. And I would see the song and said, Mommy, such and such wants me to sing. So I'm a witness for the Lord. And she said, no, you're not singing that. You're not singing that today. I'll let them know. And I was like, but Mommy, no, you've not lived that life this week. And I'm not going to allow you to depict that message across the stage to God's people, and you're not living it.
Wow.
And as a 12-year-old, as an 11-year-old, that would be devastating, because you would be like, but I can do it. I've got the talent to do it. But Mom said, but you don't have the heart.
Wow.
You don't fight for it. So no, you're not saying, I'm not. She told me one time, she says, I'm not going to teach you how to lie.
Wow.
So.
What a mother.
When I tell you, she was very strict. Now, me being the baby, I got away with a lot of things. When I was born, she was tired. My sister, because I had never known none of my mother's kids to walk around with a bottle at 5 years old.
She's just tired.
Tired. She would tell my sister, when you take it away from her, I'm tired of telling Angie to put that bottle down. But I was spoiled. But when it came to the things of God, she was strict. She feared God. There was a holy reference to her Lord that I appreciate, you know, because today, with everything that's going on with different singers, you know, they got the talent, they know the song. But to know the lifestyle that they're living, it's scary. It's like, do you know who you're singing about? Do you know what you're saying? Have you given it any thought?
Yeah.
You know, the reverence that you are supposed to have. And you're living a life that says you don't care, you don't honor, and you don't fear him. They call this thing, you know, hyper grace. You know, everything is, live your life, be you, just be you. But there is a fine line of responsible grace.
Yeah, that's good.
Hyper grace. So I thank God that I have a mother who would insist that I reverence God. So when I hit the stage now, you know, I don't do a whole lot of talking backstage. I don't, because my focus is on the Lord. Okay, God, what would you have me do? And it could be a one song slot, but I've got one song opportunity to depict the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I'm going to do it with all my heart. Yes, yes.
So, Angie, you've had the privilege of working with some legendary artists, Andre Crouch, Patty Austin, Aretha Franklin, Bill Gaither. What's one of those standout moments, lessons that you've learned from collaborating with those icons?
The professionalism, because the United States, well, I'm going to just say the world is full of talented people. But when you meet a talented person with purpose and girded by the love of God, that's the standout moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody can sing, everybody can dance, everybody can sing, you know, but when it's intertwined with purpose, the anointing, you know, my favorite, she wasn't a gospel artist, but she was a secular artist, but she loved God. And you may not even remember her because you're so young, but her name was Barbara Mandrell.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Barbara Mandrell?
Yeah, sure.
I toured for her for like 3 years. And the way she reverenced God, you know, because she played every instrument and everything, you know.
Yeah.
But she reverenced God and loved her people. And I was only 29 years old then. And I watched how, and she would tell us, she says, now this is a meeting that I'm going to, girls. There were like five of us. I'm going to this meeting and they're serving alcohol. And I know what you stand for. And I'm not going to drink it, but I have to go to the meeting. And you all just wait in my dressing room. I'm a shield you from that. And then the next set is not for another hour. So you stay in my dressing room and then I'll come and get you when it's time for the show. You know?
Wow.
And when you live a life where people can recognize you and respect you and honor the God in you, you know?
Yeah.
Because if I had been doing everything else, wouldn't be no reason for her to respect me, you know?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's amazing.
God, for the keeping power of the Holy Ghost. He will keep you even when you don't want to be kept.
Mm.
His seal remains on your life. And you don't even, Michael, you don't even have to ask for it. All you got to do is just love him.
Yeah.
He just shows up in all aspects of your life.
Yeah. What an encouraging word that is, Angie. And for those who are watching, you know, that brings new life into you. When you're struggling with something or you're going through a hard time, just knowing that he is with you, he's not going to leave you, he's not going to forsake you, that's encouragement.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your album, Spiritual, Songs of Mahalia Jackson.
Yes.
You paid tribute to a mentor. How was her music? How did that shape your vocal style and your approach to gospel music?
You know, I love Mahalia because she personalized everything. I watched her on a clip. She was singing in a jazz festival with Louis Armstrong. And she, in her book, it says that, you know, Louis had approached her and said, Haley, you are wonderful now. You could be a millionaire if you would just switch over and sing some blues and I play the jazz. We could make $1 million in a year.
Mm.
And he said, you know, Louis, if my $1 million will only come from me singing secular music, I'll never get it. If I'm to have it, God will provide. But I'm not selling out to sing for the devil, you know?
Yeah.
And the way we thought, you know, and I don't believe secular singers are just singing for the devil, because there are some saved secular singers who, you know, because I've had singers to call me to do, because I'm a background vocalist during the week, you know, Monday, Friday, I'm in the studio singing something for somebody, and because that's how I make my living. But they know that the lyrics have to be correct.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't show up for every singer because your lyrics are not right. And I cannot compromise my life for Christ to sing your song. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that blessed me when I was reading that about Haley and how she worked and her sound. She could take the words of an old hymn,
mm-hmm.
and infuse it with the newness of her time, you see, and back then, the mothers of the church was calling it blasphemy. That's sacrilegious. You're taking the old hymn. But Haley knew how to revive an old hymn to be us in the day where we are.
Yeah.
You know, and that became her signature. She could sing a song, even watching her live clips on YouTube. You can see when her persona would take over a note and twist it just to give it the that I mean it, you know.
And
a lot of times, you know, I'm singing for Bill Gaither and I'll be singing a particular lyric and it hits in my gut and like, oh, and you have to watch Bill Gaither. He's behind me going, whoa, whoa.
Speaking of Bill Gaither, you're traveling on the Gaither tour, you're on the videos. What does it feel like to be embraced by the Gaither community? And what has that meant for your career?
Oh, it's been everything. Because as I say, I have been a background vocalist and I love that. I love that. It's a lot of responsibility being lead.
Yeah. You
know, it's a lot more work than it is to be a background vocalist. And I love being what they call BGVs here in Nashville, in the music world. And I've been that for Bill Gaither for over 30 years. If he wanted a Black gospel sound on any of his artists, he would call myself and Gail and we would go in the studio and add that extra flavor. Mm-hmm. There is a Black gospel sound. I'm not saying that it has to come from Black people, but there is a sound. When you study old songs, and I'm talking about songs that's been sang in a church with no instruments, and you have to depend on the rhythm of the wood floor, and you have to depend on the of a deacon or a mother. You can sing a song and it could just be plain to anybody else. But when you get a group of church people together,
yeah,
that knows how to do it without anyone telling them, okay, don't do this and don't do that. And they get it. And over here and say, sing it, children. And the children go, you know, there is that sound.
Yeah.
And professionals like Bill Gaither, like Bobby Jones, like, you know, they come and they hear it and they want it to be depicted on what they are doing. So the Gaither family, it's changed my whole life, because when he asked me to sing solo, I was like, I don't do solos. I can sing for somebody. I can sing behind them. And he was like, no, I need you up front. And my first, my debut with Bill Gaither was January 19th, 2012.
What song?
And I did, Days of Elijah.
Okay.
I did Days of Elijah. And I did, what was the other song? You are great, you did miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. I think that's the name of it. And again, I didn't have anything. I was just singing. So Bill Gaither was like, kid, you need some product. And Michael is just gone. 2012, we're talking 9 CDs later.
Yeah.
2 DVDs.
Yeah.
A calendar with dates of people that are saying, will you come to my church to help motivate them, to encourage them? Will you come to just love on? And I love loving on God. Ooh.
I know you do. I'm a benefactor of that. You are such an encouragement to me.
Oh, I love it.
Bobby Jones, right?
Yes.
We're gonna tell the story. So for those of you that are watching, I'm trying to gauge Angie here. Probably not. Okay. My wife and I, a few years ago in Nashville, I had lunch with Angie, and she told us just some great stories of the road. Maybe not that story, but what's a humorous road story that?
Well, you know, I traveled on Bobby's buses for so many years that the doctor had to tell me, your liver. Y'all, the bus made me an alcoholic. Michael, I told the doctor, I said, I don't drink. She says, I'm looking at your numbers and you're drinking. I said, no, I'm not drinking. She said, Miss Prim, I understand you're a minister and anything, you know, there's a patient, a doctor, there's a confidentiality. I said, no, no. And by now I'm crying because, I mean, there are nothing but alcoholics in my family. Uh-huh. And I know I don't touch beer. I don't touch wine. And I was like, no, no, I don't drink. She says, your enzymes are extremely high. So you're not drinking any alcohol. And I'm like, no, no. She says, so what are you doing? I said, I'm not doing anything. She said, are you taking any over-the-counter drugs? And I thought, no. NyQuil? She said, that's it, Ms. Prim.
Yeah.
Please.
The draftiness of the bus was causing you to be sick all the time.
It would be so cold on the bus, and then the diesel fumes were so strong. The only way we could get some sleep, because the bus would break down, it wouldn't have heat, I don't know where we would get these buses from. Thank God Bill Gaither does not go to the company. But it was so bad. So everybody knew, well, if we're going to get some sleep, but yes, <Thanks for that. laughs> did that.
You've come a long ways, Angie.
Oh, hallelujah.
You've come a long ways.
A long way. God is so good. He's so good, and he's faithful.
He is.
Faithful, yeah.
Talking about the faithfulness of God, Angie, you've been married to John Prim for over 30 years.
33 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's what I said too. Wow.
Is he in the other room?
Yes.
Yeah.
Watching his cowboy and Indian every day.
How has John's support, both as a husband as a business partner, how's that influenced your journey?
You know, it has been nothing but a blessing because John has his own, you know, he's not living his life through me. He has his own life. I have my life. And he doesn't smother the gifting that God has given me nor the places I'm supposed to go. He's very secure in himself, and it has worked out wonderfully because he does support me. If I say, John, I've got to go such and such, it's not, well, why can't you and why don't you? And I was telling him the other day, even with dinner, you know, when I'm gone, if I'm in the studio, because sometimes I'm in the studio to 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and he's been so, so loving and to say, you know, babe, I got something here. Don't worry about it. Can I fix you something? Or can you just pick up something? So him being as laid back, I don't think I would have made it without anyone having a strong, demanding, controlling personality. I wouldn't be able to do, because I'm gone a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So God fixed it up.
He fixed it.
He fixed it. He fixed it.
So you've spoken about listening to God's voice, about following his guidance in your career. How do you discern, Angie Prim? How do you discern his direction for your music, especially when facing, you know, all these new opportunities?
I was just praying that the other day, actually last night, you know, when you, it's a relationship that you have to have with the Lord, and you know his touch. You know when he's saying yes, and you can tell when he's saying no. But even if you miss it, the Holy Spirit has a divine way of bringing it in front of you to let you know. Because, see, closed doors is not a curse.
That's good.
It's not a curse. It's not a curse. It's just another direction.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I see something and I know that it'll work, and I know my puppy is all over me, and I know that it'll work, and I know that it'll be good, and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the Lord just has to close the door because he knows I'm not listening. I'm excited about what I want to do. And the Lord says, no, that's not right. Not now.
Yeah.
I heard a sermon said delayed does not mean denied.
I've heard that phrase as well. I was actually getting ready to say that to you, Angie. And that's true.
Yes.
And sometimes God is delaying us because we're not ready for what he has for us in the future, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, I thank God his sovereignty is everything. Right. And to a believer, it behooves us to plug into him daily, because you really don't know the direction he's going to have for your life that day. And a 24-hour period can make the difference. Me singing on January 19th, 2012, yeah. I've been full time. And that was just me saying, they said, well, how much does he pay? I didn't ask. Uh-huh. I just knew it was an opportunity.
Yeah.
It can't be about what you need right at the moment. It's what you got to do at the moment for what you need.
Yeah, that's good.
Here. So a lot of times we'll miss it because it doesn't sound right. But when God is in it and you know he's unctioning you to do it, oh, he has a way to talk.
Yeah.
He's not deaf and he's not dumb. So how to talk to his people. And if you are honest with yourself, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I have walked one paver at a time with the Lord. When you say you walk by faith, that's certainly me. Yeah. One paver at a time. And we have to learn to not underestimate his guidance.
Yeah.
He's good at it. He's good at it. And he cares about every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Hear me? Every detail, every T that's crossed and I that's, God cares about it.
Yeah.
He does. And I'm a living witness.
As we're wrapping up, Angie, I didn't ask you to do this beforehand, but is there a hymn or a song that right now in your life, this stage in your life, is there a song that you're singing or thinking about that you might want to just sing maybe a verse or a chorus of?
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. That's what I want.
Amen.
Every day.
Yeah.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first. Because he first loved me. Let's keep serving him, Pastor.
Amen. Angie, thank you for taking the time to share your perspectives on life, music. To keep up with Angie Prim, visit her website, angelaprim.com. I'm Michael Goring, and this has been Life Perspectives. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.